COVID-19's impact on the brain, a comprehensive review for clinicians. In his groundbreaking review published in Neuroregulation, Darius Rountree Harrison provides a crucial analysis of how COVID-19 affects the nervous system. Darius Rountree Harrison offers vital insights for clinicians dealing with both acute cases and long COVID patients. As our understanding of COVID-19 has evolved from viewing it as primarily a respiratory illness, Rountree Harrison illuminates the virus's complex neurological implications through both direct viral invasion and secondary systemic effects. Direct COVID neural invasion mechanisms. Rountree Harrison explains that SARS-CoV-2 gains access to the nervous system through multiple pathways. The virus's primary point of entry involves binding to angiotensin-converting enzyme 2, ACE2, receptors, which are abundantly present in the brain, particularly in the brainstem and hippocampus. This binding mechanism, which Rountree Harrison aptly describes as a viral lockpick, allows COVID-19 to breach the nervous system through several routes. COVID-19 graphic copyright photome/shutterstock.com. The first and most common pathway is through cranial nerve routes, particularly the olfactory nerve, which explains the frequently reported symptom of smell loss. Additionally, the virus can directly infect blood-brain barrier cells, specifically parasites, and can also transmit through the circulatory system to brain tissues. The author emphasizes that this direct viral invasion can lead to serious conditions including encephalitis, strokes, and potential long-term neurodegeneration. Of particular concern is the impact on the brainstem, which controls vital functions like breathing and heart rate. Indirect mechanisms and systemic effects. Beyond direct viral invasion, Rountree Harrison details how COVID-19 creates a cascade of indirect effects on the brain. The virus triggers what has become known as a cytokine storm, an overwhelming inflammatory response that can cause widespread damage throughout the nervous system. This inflammatory cascade is often accompanied by systemic hypoxia from respiratory complications, further compromising brain function. The formation of blood clots and microvascular damage represents another significant threat, as these can lead to strokes and other neurological complications. The author also describes how multi-organ dysfunction can profoundly affect brain function, creating a complex web of systemic effects that can be as damaging as direct viral invasion, particularly in cases of long COVID. Electroencephalographic, EEG, findings. One of the most significant contributions of Rountree Harrison's review is his analysis of EEG patterns in COVID-19 patients. His research reveals striking statistics: an overwhelming 96.1% of patients show abnormal background activity, while 92.3% demonstrate generalized slowing. Perhaps most concerning is that 22.4% of patients exhibit epileptiform discharges without any prior history of seizure activity. The author also documents distinctive patterns appearing in frontal lobe activity, providing crucial diagnostic markers and potential therapeutic targets for clinicians. Therapeutic implications and future directions. Rountree Harrison proposes several promising therapeutic approaches, beginning with neurofeedback as a potential treatment modality. This non-invasive technique shows particular promise for addressing cognitive and neurological symptoms of long COVID, allowing patients to modulate abnormal brainwave patterns associated with the disease. The author also explores heart rate variability biofeedback as a therapeutic option, noting its potential to address both cardiovascular and neurological symptoms, particularly given the interconnected nature of COVID-19's systemic effects. The review further examines complementary interventions that may prove beneficial. Low-level laser therapy emerges as a promising option for reducing inflammation, while audiovisual entrainment shows potential for cognitive rehabilitation. The author advocates for an integrated rehabilitation approach that combines multiple modalities to address the complex nature of COVID-19's neurological impacts. Clinical recommendations. For clinicians, Rountree Harrison outlines a comprehensive approach to patient care. He emphasizes the critical importance of early recognition of neurological symptoms, suggesting that clinicians maintain a high index of suspicion for neurological involvement in COVID-19 cases. Regular monitoring of EEG patterns, when possible, can provide valuable insights into disease progression and treatment efficacy. The author advocates for implementing multimodal treatment approaches, recognizing that the complex nature of COVID-19's neurological impacts often requires a multifaceted therapeutic strategy. Long-term follow-up for patients with neurological symptoms is deemed essential, as the full scope of neurological sequelae may only become apparent over time. Impact and epidemiology. The author's analysis presents sobering statistics regarding the neurological impact of COVID-19. His research suggests that between 7.7 and 38.8 million people worldwide may experience neurological impacts from the virus, with approximately 24.4% of infected individuals developing long COVID symptoms. These numbers underscore the critical importance of understanding and effectively treating the neurological aspects of the disease, highlighting the potential scale of the healthcare challenge ahead. Safety considerations. In concluding his review, Rountree Harrison addresses the practical aspects of providing neurological care during the pandemic. He outlines comprehensive safety protocols for clinicians providing face-to-face neuromodulation treatments. These include detailed guidance on proper PPE usage and environmental sanitation protocols. The author provides strategic approaches to risk assessment and emphasizes the importance of vaccination as a primary preventive measure. These safety considerations are presented within the context of maintaining therapeutic efficacy while protecting both healthcare providers and patients. Critical analysis. The author acknowledges that while neurofeedback and other neuromodulation treatments show promise for addressing COVID-19's neurological impacts, these applications remain experimental without direct research validation. The recommendations are largely based on analogies to similar conditions and theoretical mechanisms rather than specific clinical trials with COVID-19 patients. The EEG findings, while extensive, come from a relatively early period in the pandemic, and the patterns observed may not fully represent all variants or presentations of the disease. Additionally, the relationship between specific EEG patterns and causal mechanisms remains speculative, with the author noting that it's still too early to draw definitive associations between reported cases, EEG patterns, and underlying mechanisms. Rountree Harrison emphasizes that the statistical projections regarding neurological impacts, ranging from 7.7 to 38.8 million people, are estimates based on limited data and may not accurately reflect the true scope of the problem. The author also notes that the effectiveness of proposed interventions like heart rate variability biofeedback and low-level laser therapy in COVID-19 rehabilitation remains untested, despite showing promise in related conditions. A significant limitation is the lack of long-term follow-up data, making it difficult to determine the duration and evolution of neurological symptoms over time. The author also cautions that the implementation of neuromodulation therapies during a pandemic poses inherent risks, and clinicians must carefully weigh the benefits against potential transmission risks, even with proper safety protocols in place. Furthermore, the accessibility and scalability of the proposed interventions pose significant challenges, particularly in resource-limited settings or during periods of high infection rates. The author notes that many of the recommended treatments require face-to-face sessions, which may not be feasible in all circumstances. These limitations underscore the preliminary nature of our understanding of COVID-19's neurological impacts and the need for continued research to validate proposed therapeutic approaches.